Hello, everybody, and welcome back to First Gen Table Talks. I'm your host, Oscar Perez, and this episode, we will be highlighting college. Well, let me be a little bit more specific about that. We'll be highlighting being in graduate school. Joining us today, we have two graduate students who have chosen to further their education and not just stop at their undergrad. These two graduate students, while their time in their undergrad, were very much seen and acknowledged as student leaders. Both of them have left a long-lasting impact while in their undergrad, but will also continue to do so in graduate school. No matter where either of them go, they are sure to lead by example and elevate those around them. If you could, please introduce yourself. What graduate program you're in, if you're a graduate assistant, then what office or department you're a GA for, and if you would also like to talk about your previous involvement on campus, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
Okay, hi guys, my name is Allison Feit. Well, first off, I want to say what an introduction. Love that. Made me feel so special. But yeah, like I said, I'm Allison. I was an undergrad at Arkansas Tech, graduated in May of 2024 with a Bachelor's of Science in Middle Level Education. Woo, go education majors. Was involved in a lot, probably a little bit too much. Served in a lot of executive roles, such as president of my sorority, as well as president of other clubs. But yeah, and so with that involvement is how I got where I am today. Right now in grad school, I'm a graduate assistant for campus life. I specifically work with the new student and orientation transition programs, as well as the student activities board. But yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Hi guys, so my name is Paula Gonzalez. I just graduated recently, literally last semester in the fall, with a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, specifically with digital marketing. Right now I'm pursuing my postgraduate studies in the Higher Education Student Affairs Program. I currently serve as a teaching graduate assistant for Dr. Tribble. Basically means that I get to teach the Introduction to the University course, which basically is helping our first year students, which that does not mean that they're just like 18 and 19 years old. That a lot of people are first year students. They're maybe going to college again, or they started later their college career. Like I have moms, people that serve in the military. It's just been also interesting to see that. Very inspiring too. But basically I help them with that transitional period going from school to college, and then just learn all the things about Arkansas Tech and everything that our university has to offer, and just ways that I can be there for them. So yeah, so far it's just my first semester in it, but I love it. I love to, like Allison said, I was very involved when I was in my undergrad, probably also a little bit too much. Fun fact, we were both presidents of the same sorority. Go Zeta. You know, SGA, freshman orientation.
We did SGA together.
Yes, we did exec board together. But yeah, so many things, FBLA, just like Golden Guides, mm-hmm. which we both also did. Yeah.
Can you tell that we're friends?
At the admissions office. Also, Allison's one of my best friends, guys. So yeah. I'm having this time of my life. Yeah. But yeah, I did a little bit too much. But yeah, I never, even though I was super involved, I never got to connect with students in this way before. It's a very different dynamic. A lot of learning, a lot of knowing how to set those boundaries. And yeah, but so far I'm really enjoying the experience. And thank you so much, Oscar, for having us here.
And then the quote we want to share with you all today is, education is no longer thought of as a preparation for adult life, but as a continuing process of growth and development from birth until death. Stephen Mitchell. Now, let's get started.
Okay, quote, period.
Now, let's get started. So first off, I want to ask y'all, why graduate school? Why did you choose to further your education after your undergrad?
Well, as a first-generation college student, in my undergrad, I was so confused. I had no idea what was going on. My parents were still supportive, though, even though they were learning with me on the process. And so I didn't even know graduate school was a thing until maybe my junior year. I knew it was out there, but I didn't know that I could do it, basically. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So my junior year was when I was like, oh, wait, I could keep learning. I can see what opportunities are out there. And so, as I mentioned, I was a middle-level education major. And so, at least 3 times a week, I was hanging out with, like, fifth graders. Ooh, Lord. So, that was a wake-up call for me that maybe I don't want to hang out with fifth graders, sixth graders all day long. Like, maybe I want to do something else. And that's when I got introduced to the student affairs program, where it's still education. I still get to, like, teach. I still get to make a small impact on a college student's journey, but it's just with college students, which I really enjoyed. And so I was introduced to the master's program by like Riley Gashot, Chelsea Neal, and Dr. Nichols. Like I was introduced to that program by them. And so I was like, huh, maybe I could keep going. And so it was definitely scary. I was terrified, because the idea of going to grad school is supposed to be like 10 times harder than undergrad. And so I was like, I don't know if I could do it, you know, but I did it. And so that's why I decided to keep going. And that's why I'm here today.
And I will say, like, watching Allison grow, like, throughout all these years, because we became friends back in, like, 2020, which was pandemic, and it was crazy. And fun fact, the pandemic didn't let our friendship die, which was really cool, because I had to go back to Florida and just stay here in Arkansas. But she's always been very passionate about education. So I just really admire the way that she, like, got to transform that passion into education, but just, like, in a way that she feels more comfortable at, and, like, just the way that, like, you've shaped your journey without leaving your passion for education, just like finding it in other areas that fulfill you more. And like,
I'm about to cry.
I'm just so proud of you, and just like watching your growth. It's like a lot of people, because of different circumstances, have to like change the way that they pursue their career. But I feel like you've always known your passion about education. You may have thought it was in one way and it's actually in another, but just the way that you've been so resilient to the change, and just like you want to uplift students, maybe not fifth graders like you said, but just like the way that you continue to pursue education and how that is your passion, and how resilient and courageous like you have been, like just like as your friend watching that, like I'm very proud of that.
Thanks, Paula.
You're welcome. Okay, so my take's a little bit different. I graduated, like I mentioned, with digital marketing, and I am still very passionate about marketing, and I always thought I wanted to, which is still on the table in a way. That's why I feel like my situation is a little different, like to work in like a company and do like marketing, like product development, branding, like all that creative side of marketing. So I forgot to say this, but I'm an international student from Venezuela, and student affairs is not a thing back home. Like universities back home are very much like a school, like you go to class, and like not even that, because I feel like here in the US schools still have so many clubs and stuff to get involved. Like back home, you go to class, you go home, and like that's it. There's not like dorms culture or like what we have, like SGA, SAB, first generation, like all those programs, like TRIO offices, like we don't really have that. Is just like an institutional, just like educational place. I was, when I chose to study abroad and I came here, I was introduced to the culture of American universities, like in the United States, and how many opportunities you have to get involved, to build your resume, to have opportunities to network and all these things, which are really important to further your career in this country, I believe, mostly the networking side of things. So I was introduced to this world when I was a sophomore, because when I was a freshman, I was too scared to go out there and put my name out there. But I absolutely love my degree and love what I was doing and what I graduated on. But I've always had, after being so involved, I always had that curiosity of like, how would this look on the professional side of things? Like I've had these opportunities and I've started in all these leadership roles as a student, but I would like to see how it feels to be a professional in that area and like doing this for a living. So in a way, I was just, I consider myself a very ambitious person, and just like my curiosity about it, it came to the point where I was like, should I do my MBA and further my education on the business side of things, or should I do something completely different to what I'm doing, because I feel like I could see myself fitting into that narrative in a way for my future career. So it was a really hard decision, but I ended up leaning and choosing the higher ed and student affairs program, because I feel like it would have opened me to, and I'm not saying an MBA wouldn't have, but like I'm learning so many things now that it's not like, I don't know, my MBA would have been like accounting on steroids and things like that. I would have learned so much about it. I'm not even taking out the possibility of me doing it in the future, but I just wanted to choose something that was going to further my knowledge in an area that I have no expertise in, the professional side of things. So I think at the end of the day, that's what drove my decision to pursue this master program, because I just wanted to see where I could find myself into this whole student affairs like area and like higher education. And I talked to Dr. Nichols, I talked to Riley, I talked to Chelsea, and Dr. Tribble too.
Yeah,
I will say I also did talk to Dr. Tribble and Dr. Holt in a meeting they did, and like I was just so inspired by them, and I was like, you know what, why not? Like, let me go and do it, because what if I do the MBA? It's more of the same thing, and then I'm always going to be like, what would have happened if I did this or not? So I'm not taking out completely out of the picture the possibility of me working for a company in the future, but I just didn't want the what if of my career to stop me from the what could have been, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I could have evolved in this area, so...
That's why I chose grad school. And I can't speak on behalf of Bala, but for myself, who wants to grow up? Like, let's go to school for 2 more years.
No, that's true. Also, I get to be with Allison for a longer time.
Yeah.
And realistically, I would have not, I don't think I would have done my MBA here, just because international student restrictions, the MBA program at ATU is online. So I wouldn't have been able to do that. But also, like, when I was, like, choosing, I was like, I do like it here, though.
So I do want to stay here with my friends and everything that I've ever known for the
past 4 or 5 years. Graduate school so far, so I'm very new to the program. This is my first semester in Australia, so you can elaborate on this a little bit more. But my favorite part of it has been getting to meet with professionals at ATU and them talking about their day-to-day things that they have encountered in their years being a professional in this area. So, for example, Dr. Tribble got all of her GAs, so we got to have a meeting with Miss Amy Pennington literally this week on Tuesday, and she was very vulnerable and honest, and we had a meeting about crisis management in higher education and like university and like from all the different areas that, like, again, this is the reason why I got into this program, because I'm getting to see things from the professional side and things that I've never learned before. So we talked about when it's crisis and like natural disasters, and like, for example, here, like, we have a nuclear plant and like tornadoes and like all those things. Or like financial crisis, so like tuition raising or like budget cutting or things like that, or social political crisis, what happens when we have protests and things going on, like the bell tower, it's an open area for people, but you also have to be careful with the safety, like, of your you have to care for the safety of your students, or when it comes to like school shootings or things like that, and like your students being in danger, or like your reputation as a university when you put statements out and just like doing it in a timely manner, but you also need to have that marketing side of me comes out, because it's like the public relations side of things. When you put a statement out as a university, it can be a very double sword, because it can either go really well or it can go really bad from like the reaction of the public. So I guess I like my classes and I enjoy them, but definitely my favorite part is like when I actually get to sit down with them and get like the real of it, of like what you face when you are in higher education and student affairs. So I think so far having those conversations that feel, again, very vulnerable, very real, are definitely the best part, because I feel like I learn in my classes and I completely do, but like that just feels like that could be me one day. Like the situations that they're facing, I could face that one day. I feel like overall that is the knowledge that I just appreciate the most, because I feel like when it comes to the real deal and I'm in this world of higher ed, I'm gonna remember those conversations and think what Ms. Amy Pennington would have done, or what Dr. Tribble would have done, or what Riley would have done, you know. So I think that has been my favorite part, just like learning from them and from their experiences that they've had so far in their career.
Yeah, and I would add on to that, what we're learning in the textbooks and stuff, like, we're seeing it in real life, and that is something that in undergrad we kind of got to see, but I feel now in graduate school, like, we're actually seeing, like, textbook written stuff, like, in person. But I would say my favorite thing, and this is my second semester in the program, so I'm about to be a full year, woohoo! Ooh. But my favorite thing is getting to see student leaders grow. And it, like, when I was an undergrad, like, as we mentioned, we were both on executive councils and stuff like that, so we got to see students grow and stuff, but
like our friends.
Yeah, like our friends. But as a graduate student, getting to see someone like interview for an orientation position and then carry on to be a student coordinator for orientation, like, it's wild. And like getting to know that I played a small part in their story. Like, I was the one that interviewed them, or I was the one that helped them get to that position, whatever it was. Like, it's so cool and so amazing to see. So that's definitely my favorite part, is seeing students grow and stuff.
I will say definitely helps being a GA. Like, if you're thinking about going to grad school, definitely apply for a graduate assistant position.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because I feel like more than anything, like Allison said, what you learn in the classroom, you apply to your graduate position. So, like, you get to connect in students in ways that you've never done before. Like, not the friendship dynamic, like, for example, that me and Allison have had, but the students looking up to you in a different way, or like you being proud of your students for being successful in the areas that you're literally employed by the school to work for.
Yeah, I feel like it works better for Allison too, just because, like, I mean, that's like what she's studying, like higher education. And so, like, she's seeing these students, freshmen, apply to be orientation leaders, and then they go on to be leaders, like, around campus. So, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So, moving on to our third question, how would you describe the application process to get into graduate school to someone who's wondering about it or doesn't really know much about it?
Yeah, so Paul and I have a unique story because we're at the same school that we went to undergrad for. So I would say our application process was probably a little bit more easier than some, but I'll still be general in saying that if you're even have the slightest interest of applying for grad school, do it, because those processes, like the application, sometimes you have to pay for them. Like, they start in December, if not earlier.
They take time.
Yeah. So you want to start now, and you can always tell the school or the position no, but you want to make sure that you are getting in every single opportunity that you can.
Keep your options open.
Yeah. So definitely apply now. But if I could go back and tell myself that, I would definitely apply to different schools, and I almost maybe would have went to a different school.
Really?
Yeah, just because, like, I was here for my undergrad, and so I, you know, kind of feel like I know a few of the ins and outs here, but I think it would have been a really cool experience to go somewhere else, even though I love what I'm doing. I love this school. I love everything about it, but I know I would have challenged myself. I would have branched out. So if you're thinking about going to grad school, apply now. Pay that application fee now and just do it. That's the hardest part, is just getting over your fear and just doing it. I would say.
And I would say, like, all universities of course have like policies that they about and all of that, but it does vary from schools. So like,
check the website.
Like what Allison said, like, yes, all universities have to follow certain things, but like what can be student affairs here can be very different from a university 30 minutes from here, you know, like, or areas are divided in different ways and things like that. So I think that it does challenge you more. Of course, you have your alma mater and all those things, but definitely if you have been very involved, for example, like me and Allison at your university, if you feel like you really didn't get to do that a lot in your undergrad, I guess, like, do whatever you want with this information. But if you were like super involved, I think it will challenge you in a way to go to different departments and different universities and different culture, different student body and different faculty and staff. I will say, definitely very important, that time frame. What has to do in your application, you can tackle whenever you want, but you're most likely going to need a lot of letters of recommendation. And that is up to the person's discretion, like, that is writing them for you. So for me, I had everything, all my essays done, like all of my grades, like everything, all the documents, everything that I needed. I was just waiting on those letters from other people. So I feel like if I could go back and do it again, I would have started way earlier and gotten over that fear, because the only reason why I didn't do it is because I was like so scared of doing it. But definitely, like, usually people you're gonna ask for letters of recommendation are gonna be professionals, and they have very busy schedules. So definitely, like, giving them a little bit of time to, like, be able to write a letter for you, and definitely start thinking about the people that you would like to reach out. And if you're thinking about grad school and you feel like you don't have those connections, use your last years of undergrad to seek help and, like, have mentors, and just, like, in professors and student affairs faculty, just, like, different people, have an on-campus job or off-campus, but definitely have people that can write letters for you. So if you are not, if you don't have that network and you feel like you want to go to grad school, I would definitely get on that. And then if you already have the network, then I would start reaching out to those professionals so they can keep it on the radar. That was at least, like, the hardest part for me, in a way. It was just waiting to receive those.
I feel like for me, the hardest part, like, I applied to different stuff. Like, I know for orientation this year, we had to have, what was it, letter recommendation?
And your resume, too.
And a resume. So that was one thing, is earlier in the year, I had made a resume, but then I had to ask people for letters of recommendations. And I feel like that, like, not waiting on it was the hardest part, but more like going up to them and asking for them, because it's like they already done, like, if it's someone that I interact with a lot, especially if they're like faculty or staff, there's someone that I interact with a lot and they already do so much for me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes like I'm kind of scared. I'm like, they already do so much for me. Like,
yeah.
Why? Like, I don't want to ask more from them. But I think that's just like my biggest hurdle is getting past being scared of asking them.
Like the reaching out.
Yeah, reaching out. Yeah. And so I feel like that's my biggest hurdle is just reaching out because I'm just like, they do so much for me.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, like even I, after being here for so long and majority of people that wrote a letter for me, I've known for like more probably than 2 years, and I was still a little nervous, not really hesitant, but like nervous to that, like, so would you write like a letter for me? Mm-hmm. So like it's completely like a normal feeling even if you've known them for so long, and I think that comes with the admiration and how much you look up to these people that it's like, would you please like so that's like, I totally understand where you're coming from.
The only thing I was going to add is, no matter if you're applying for grad school, applying for orientation position, whatever that position or job or role, if you have to have a letter of recommendation, make sure you thank that person after. I think a lot of people are get like we were talking snaps for that. Like we were talking about the hurdle, the scariness of asking, but I think it speaks volume when they take the time to write that for you, and then you go and say, thank you so much for doing this, or writing a letter. We do not write thank you letters enough in today's digital world. So just writing a simple thank you letter.
And there's so many cute ones.
Yes, exactly. With the stickers, come on. But, like, I think if you did that, they'll be way more willing, or they'll always make sure to write you a letter of recommendation for foreseeable future, I think. But that's just my little Allison tidbit of
that's
the day.
Good. That's good advice.
No, that's good. Thank you, Lily. I also think we don't write enough letters.
Moving on to our next question is, what do you think is the most important part for success in grad school? Like, I know you haven't been in it like super duper long, but like from what you know or I've seen so far, what would you think is like the, I guess, key to success?
Okay, the key to success is something that I'm still working on what I'm about to say, because I'm still growing, you know, is balancing life, balancing being a grad student, balancing a personal life, balancing working so that you can pay your bills. Like, balance is how you're going to find success. Now, does that mean that you're going to be perfect throughout your whole graduate career or undergrad career? Absolutely not. But if you can balance, like, your personal life and being a GA or your schoolwork, like, you'll be set. It's truly just balancing it.
I agree. It definitely gets tricky. Yes. It's already tricky when you're an undergrad, but when you're a graduate student, you work as in full-time, but you're also a student.
Right.
Like, full-time. And you also have, like, I guess your social life in a way full-time and the time for yourself. So definitely finding that balance of, like, because I had an on-campus job, but clearly my graduate assistant job is, like, way more demanding. In grad school, it's way more demanding than my undergrad classes. And then that social aspect of being so involved, I think we've both struggled with that. When you take that away from your college experience and it's like no more SGA, SAB, Greek life, like all these things like in that way, it can feel very lonely. And I openly admit that I've struggled a lot with that. I'm currently going to counseling for that, actually. I have an appointment tomorrow.
Period.
Shout out to the Health and Wellness Center.
Yes, we love that listener.
But definitely, like, everything, it's just, like, on steroids, but also it's hard to adult.
Yeah, adulthood is scary.
It's so scary.
It's so scary.
But it's manageable, so don't be scared. It's scary, but don't be scared. Like, you just have to find that sweet spot, like Allison said, where you can get to manage all these things. But definitely, even the social aspect just takes, like, a huge toll on you in a way. Because when you're extremely involved, like me and Allison were, and then you just caught off that experience, and it's like, oh, now I have more time. But, like, what do I do? Like, do I work out? Do I cook a home meal? Like, what do I, I don't see my friends every day because we're not on campus every day. Like, I mean, we are, but, like, not in the meetings, like, student-led organization meetings and activities and all those things. So definitely finding the balance between the schoolwork, the job, social life, take care of yourself, too. So
being comfortable in discomfort. Or seeking discomfort in adulthood and graduate school is what is going to be successful or make you successful.
I think that's probably what I'm going to struggle with too, since I'm involved in like just about everything.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing a whole lot of stuff right now. and I'm just like in my sophomore year, so I'm almost halfway done.
You're halfway done.
But I think once I start getting towards like the end of my senior year, so like that last semester is whenever like I'll start cutting down a lot of like my executive positions, because I gotta start stepping down and letting other people step up.
Yeah.
But then like I've already thought about this before. I'm just like, good. It's just like I'm doing all this stuff. Like my planner is like packed from like every single day. It's packed. I have something almost every single day, and then it's gonna go from being packed every single day to like having a lot of time just one day, and I'm not gonna know what to do with it. So I think that's, I'm probably gonna be in the same position as like Paula pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely cherish your undergrad time. Like, it definitely, once you,
in the moment you may hate it, but
yeah, sometimes it's like, this is too much, but definitely just take advantage of the opportunities and of the networking, and like just like form those strong connections and friendships, because it, even as a grad student, like, you're still a student, but the dynamic, it's completely different. So just going from like being super packed, you're packed now, but like in different ways. So I feel like before it was like, you get involved in what you want to get involved, and you put in what you want to put in. And if you want a leadership position, you can do that, or you can just be a regular member. But when you start adulting, it's like, gets way more tricky to get to pick what you do and what you cannot do. Like, you have to pay your bills, and you have to get a job, and it's like, you have to go to, you know, it's just like,
scary.
Things like, yeah.
Scary.
It's definitely just like, but I mean, change is part of growing up. We wish, I wish I could stay in my undergrad forever, but clearly I cannot do that. So I think it's just a matter of getting used to going up with the ladder of your life. If that makes sense. Like, as your life goes, you being able to like let go of things, which has been hard for me, I'll admit it. Just letting go of things and just like move on with the new opportunities that you have in front of you and the new experiences and people that these opportunities are going to open up to you.
How important would you say it is to network in grad school? Like, I know you already mentioned it, that networking is very important, but how important is it actually?
Probably the most important thing.
Everything. Literally everything.
I mean, no matter if you're in grad school or if you're just working a part-time job, networking and making connections is what's going to get you far in life. It truly is. I mean, I wouldn't have my GA position if I didn't network with my current boss as an undergrad. Like, I wouldn't be in the HESA program if I didn't network with Dr. Tribble, who's over it, or Dr. Kuchar, that's over it. And so now that we are graduate students, like, we have to network with professionals to hopefully get a job one day. And so, I mean, networking, super important. No matter what stage of life, what part of life you're in.
I feel like how the way that society works now, and like as we move into such a digital, way easy to connect way, like, it is important to have good grades and do all these things. But definitely, sometimes when it gets your foot on the door, it's not what you've done, but the people that you know to get you those opportunities. So even if it's not higher ed, if it's not grad school, like Allison said, like, whatever it is, networking, it's so important. Literally go open that LinkedIn right now if you haven't. Go add all your friends in it. Like, and it can be stressful, because sometimes you feel like, sometimes it's hard to also cherish the connections that you already have, because you're always on the look for new connections. But I will also say, take care, like you said, thank you notes and things like that with the connections that you already have. I will say, even if it's higher ed or not, whatever you're pursuing, the way that our society works right now, like, networking is everything to me, at least to me.
I mean, I remember as a tour guide for the university, like, I would, the last thing I would tell incoming students is, you need to join at least one club, because the people that you meet in that club, RSO, organization, they know other people who know other people who then know other people that you're going to connect with. And they, at first, they just looked at me like, this girl's crazy. But their parents were shaking their head. They're like, you need to get connected, because that's, I mean, that's how you,
I mean, every single far, job that I had in my undergrad and the job that I have right now, if I didn't network, I would have not got it. Or like, maybe I would have, but I would have gotten to those opportunities faster, or like, in a way, like, easier. Like, everything that I've applied for, that I've ever gotten, like, yes, it's because I put the work and I apply and interviewed and all these things, but the way that you find out about those opportunities, there's no, I believe there's no website or anything that can tell you that. Like, there is, but like, I feel like in the big scheme of things, like, the best way to find those opportunities are by the people that you know, and that the people that you know in that whole networking circle that you have.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think that also reaching out, like you said, or like mm-hmm. like networking and stuff, I think it also sets you apart from like a lot of people, because there's people that like who do like really good in school, but then they'll just go back to their dorm and like won't mm-hmm. socialize, won't network or anything. But then you have these people that also do pretty well in school, maybe not as well as that other person, but they network, they reach yeah. out, and yeah. I feel like that also helps you stand out. Mm-hmm. And employers are gonna be like, yeah, this guy has like really good grades, mm-hmm. but he's been reaching out, but this mm-hmm. other person has been reaching out to us constantly over and over and over again. So it's like, I know his face, I know what he's capable of, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
so.
Right, yeah, no, that was really good.
I believe that it's a matter about the ambition of like wanting to get to those opportunities mm-hmm. and like putting effort. Like, I can speak about my boyfriend, shout out Peyton. he's doing something completely different than I do. He's a mechanical engineering. He's in an engineering company in Northwest Arkansas. And like every time people come and interview, he literally has told me when he's now being the one in the interviews, he's like, so many kids come and interview for positions here, but I don't care about your GPA if you don't have interpersonal skills or things like that. Or like the people that refer you, or the letters of recommendation, like all the network. Like, he tells me that what him and his team are looking for, it's like people that can work on a team and that can connect and that are being referred by other people. So like, it doesn't matter if you had a 4.0, mm-hmm. like that's not gonna get you the best job to be the best. I mean, you need to have a good grade.
Yes, yeah, please try to have a good grade.
Exactly. Like, I'm not trying to discredit that, but I feel like nowadays when you go to a job interview, that's not the only thing that's going to matter. And, right. like, he's doing something I don't know anything about engineering, but, like, that opens my mind. And I'm like, this is really important when mm-hmm. it comes to, like, your future career and your professional development. So, yeah, definitely plus, network.
I think those future leaders are, like, the ones that are, like, in these companies and, like, are the ones interviewing are probably the same people who have been involved in like college or yeah. whatever institution mm-hmm. that they went to. They probably were involved and they know how important it is to be involved. And so if you go to those interviews with a full like skill set of things you just picked up from being involved, mm-hmm. it'll help out a lot, because they're like, he's doing, or like he or she or whoever it is, like has done so much, and I used to be just like them, and now they're here applying for the same job. So they probably understand like where you're coming from, and they know yeah. they can trust you to like get the job done right and not slack off and be someone who's gonna take this position like seriously. So.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. I feel like now if I went to interview someone and I was in front of two different resumes, and like if I see someone that was like dedicated their time, was super involved, and did a lot of things that aligned with some of the things that I did, like I know the value in that work and I know the effort that it takes, because we're all here for college and everything that you join, it's extracurricular. But I see the value in the lessons that you learn from that. So even if I was trying to pick someone for something, like I feel like even now I would lean towards that more. Mm-hmm. And this is just fun fact, but one of the internships that I did over the summer, the CEO of the company was talking to us, like all the interns, and he was like, we, in his words, we do not care if you are the smartest person in this room. If you cannot work on a team and you don't have interpersonal skills, we don't want you on our team. So he was like, you guys are still in college. I was still in my undergrad at the time.
That was like a mic drop moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was like, it's so good that, again, you have good grades and you go to class and you do all these things, but if you don't have interpersonal skills or the ability to network, then we are a team-based company. Majority of companies are. So I'm not trying to hire people that are like, well, my work's better, or I'm smarter, or all these things. It's like people that can admit they're wrong and like mm-hmm. work with other people and like make people feel like they can come to work and feel in a safe environment. So that just really stuck with me yeah. when he said that, because I was like, there's other things that I need to grow on.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you're not involved in anything, our goal or our challenge to you is to get involved in one thing.
Yeah, just one
thing. I mean, you don't have to be involved in 5 million things. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can
get involved. We're just
crazy. Yes. I mean, you can get involved in one club or make a connection with one professor, mm-hmm. one faculty or staff member. That's our challenge. We say do it.
Because we also understand that it's hard. Like, a lot of students pay for their own school, and like they have,
they gotta work.
They have two jobs, and like Elson said, even if it's you don't join an organization, but you establish a mentorship dynamic with a professor, and you meet once a month, or it can be an academic club. It doesn't have to be like. We just very passionate about student affairs, but if you are a business major and you just want to join FBLA, then go ahead and do so. Or like a nursing club, if you're a nursing major, like it can also be just academics, as long as like you have, you go and make at least that one connection in some area that interests you. Because we also understand student affairs is not for everybody. So just as long as you get involved, like even having just a job on campus, I believe that gives you a lot of connections already.
Moving on to our next question. Was there anything that you wish you knew before getting into grad school that you didn't already know?
I mean, we talked about this not too long ago, like before, but what I didn't know with grad school is how much quote-unquote free time I would have. When I get... So in undergrad, like, and how Oscar mentioned with his with your planner, like, you're going from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., if not earlier or later. And so that's how me and Paula were. And so in grad school, like, you're working 8 to 5, and so, and for me, like, I advise student activity sports, so sometimes I have events that I have to be at from like 7 to 10, but when I don't have events, I just go home, like, I'm done working. And so that awkward, like, do I cook dinner, do I pick up a hobby, do I go work out, like,
definitely.
That's something I didn't have in undergrad, was free time at all. And so for me personally, for me, that was the one thing I didn't know with grad school, is how to adult and how to pick up hobbies, I guess.
Yeah.
For me. That's my...
My answer is, like, so aligned with that. I think, to me, it's, like, just learning... I don't know how to word this in the best way, but, like, learning how to let go in a way of your undergrad life. And understanding that once you step into this new area, things are going to look different. And that is okay. Things do change. But... I think I didn't mentally prepare myself a lot for that, and the struggle, like, when January started and I saw my friends in undergrad just going and doing their own things and going to chapter and doing all these things, and then I was not being a part of that. That was really hard for me to comprehend and just realize that this time is over now. And again, that it's okay, all good things come to an end, and there's new opportunities and new people that are going to come. But I guess trying to definitely live in the moment in those times that I was, like, so stressed and my schedule was, like, so packed, just, like, understanding that one day I'm not going to have that. But also maybe going to maybe counseling and just, like, mentally start preparing myself to the 180 change of going from this is my life as an undergrad to this is how it is now. Which, again, it's not bad, but it was hard to let go of that. And it's like, then what do I do with all this free time? Like, I'm used to not sleeping, like, like sleep. Like, this is not okay.
I made a spring door hanger the other day. What? Like, a little basket with flowers for my door? I didn't, what? Who am I?
No, for real. I go on walks now. Yeah. I get to... I don't have to eat at McDonald's and Taco Bell every night. Like, I get to, like, cook a meal. Like, that's just, like... But again, me and Allison were just, like, also kind of crazy. We didn't really set those boundaries. And I feel like adult life, it's making us set those boundaries. Yeah. Which is good. Yeah, it's good. And, like, you need it. But the change was definitely hard. And I wish I would have prepared myself a little bit more, mostly on the emotional side of things, to know that this is coming to an end and this is, like, my new beginning.
I would say on the academic side, you have to read the textbook. Like, you have to read the textbook. You have to read, like, all those, oh my goodness, every single course that I've taken so far, they have, like, extra resources. Read them. Like, really? Take every resource or extra reading that they give, because it somehow is going to be applied either in assignments, the test, or just your job if you work as a GA or graduate assistant. But, yeah.
You know how your professor always, like, read the chapter before you come to class. But, like, let's be real, you actually never do.
Yeah.
In grad school, you should read the chapter.
Like, they mean it this time.
Yeah, like, you are, this is an expectation.
Yeah.
They will they'll ask questions as if you did. So, like, you have to now, because it's not just like, okay, read your textbook. It's like, no, you actually have to, like, put the effort, because this is, like, clearly more serious. Like, it's postgraduate studies. So, like, you do have to put a lot on your part in order to learn. So read those textbooks.
Read them.
Was there any point in time where you doubted or weren't exactly sure if you wanted to continue with grad school, or is that something that you truly wanted to do?
Oscar, I have been waiting for this question. I personally, I mean, there's days that I doubt it. Or I can go a whole week and not be like, oh, I love this decision that I made. Or I can go all week saying like, why did I do this, blah, blah, blah. Because the hardest part, and I hate that I'm saying this, but the hardest part is seeing your friends, seeing people you went to high school with, like, either starting their jobs, starting families, like, getting married, getting engaged, and or getting a promotion at work. And I know comparison is, like, the thief of joy. Like, you should not compare your life to others, but it's hard when it just pops up on Instagram or on TikTok.
It's so accessible nowadays.
And it's like, did I make the wrong decision? Should I have started my teaching career? Should I have went into the classroom and, like, made an impact on these students' lives? Like, am I doing the right thing? And so, oh yeah. I've been waiting for this question. I doubt it every day, but I know that I made the right decision because I know I'm making an impact, and maybe not, I don't see it every day or I don't feel it every day, but if I would have went into the classroom, or if I wouldn't have gone to graduate school, and Paula mentioned this, I would have been in that job or would have done anything and been like, well, what would have happened? What would have happened if I went to grad school? And so I'm glad I did it. Wow, that was I needed to tell myself that I'm glad that I went to grad school, because I know I would have been somewhere else around the world, around Arkansas, thinking, what would have happened?
I think Allison wore that perfectly.
I've been waiting for this question. I've been waiting.
I know she was speaking for herself, but I completely agree, which is, I think that's why we're besties.
Yeah. Besties for the besties.
Yeah, we may be sisters in another life.
Yeah.
We are sisters. I don't think I can even add anything to that. I think she worded that perfectly. Definitely, you see people moving on to all these things. Like I just said, like my boyfriend works at like a super big company right now, and he's like already having like his salary and like all this like big boy job things. Yeah. And like it's so hard not to fall into the comparison of like, well, maybe if I was working at a company and like doing marketing, I could already be doing this and doing that. Or like you see people getting like married, and you see all these things like social media all the time. It's like, because clearly people always are posting the good things,
right?
So like it's so easy to be like, oh, I should have done that, or I should have done this. I think it's harder when you see people in your own major, like people that you had classes with that are now professionals in that area, and it just feels like you have a pause in time. But like you actually don't, you're in grad school. But it's like, well, I don't know if it happens to you, but I'm like, well, she's doing marketing in, like, I don't know, New York. And it's just, like, super crazy and all these good opportunities. And it's just like, did I make the wrong decision? Yeah. Like, should I be in New York right now? Like, and just things like that. But I think, the hardest thing, it's, like, not falling into comparison and knowing that we all have our own time and making peace with the fact that we don't have our own time for things to come. I think will be the best way that I could, like, say you can overcome that feeling. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to cry, girl.
And I will say, for first-generation students, because I am a first-gen student, another reason why I doubted is because I knew I would have to explain everything that I was doing to, like, my parents, to my grandparents. Shout out my mom and my dad and my grandparents. Love y'all. Oh, and
they're
my sister. Because she would have been mad if I didn't mention her. But, like, it's hard because I'm like, oh, I have to explain everything that I'm doing, you know? And I think that's just, like, being young and immature, but that was also, I think, a part of doubt is I'm gonna have to explain everything I've done, because I'm the first one in my family to go to grad school, and so it's not really scary for me, it's scary for them, because they're like, well, why are you not making a salary? Why are you not working? Why are you working more than 40 hours and not getting paid for it? Like, what? And so just having to explain all that can be discouraging sometimes, but my parents are wonderful though, so.
And it is hard sometimes having that parent pressure unconsciously, because same thing with my parents, like they love me and like they are so
proud of
me. They're
also in a whole different country, so they're terrified for you.
So different. And like definitely why don't you just go and get a job, like you already have like your bachelor, like just understanding that and like the pressure, it's just so real. It can be unconscious because my parents support me in this decision. But at the beginning, that whole sitting down and like, I think I want to pursue grad school and like having, in a way, those uncomfortable conversations can be a little hard. Mm-hmm. And the questioning, because you're already questioning yourself. So it's like, well, it's like, what is that? Am I doing the right thing? Which kind of goes back into the last question.
So yes, we do doubt it, but we are thankful every day that we get this opportunity because a lot of graduate students don't, or a lot of people that have graduated wish they would have went to grad school. And so we do doubt, but we're excited that
education is a blessing in so many ways.
So I guess I don't even need to ask this next question, but I was going to ask, are you glad you made a decision? Clearly, you're both very, very like glad and excited that you made a decision that you're here doing this now.
So. I'm glad I get to see Allison more.
Oh, yeah. Every single day. We love it. But,
And Lindley. So, we love you, Lindley.
We love you, Lindley. So thankful that I get this opportunity every day because who gets, this is my experience, but who gets to wake up, come to work at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and then come in later because that evening you have to go do silent disco. Like, you get to help students dance the night away listening to jams and headphones. Like, who gets to say they do that as their job? So, very thankful, though.
So, moving on to our final and last question. What is a piece of advice that you would give to others who may already be thinking about graduate school?
Simply do it. If you're thinking about it, either, like, how we mentioned earlier, like, have conversations with people about their experience, apply, and you can always tell them no. But mine is, if you're thinking about it, there's something in you telling you that you should do it, so why not?
First of all, I'm very sad. This is our last question.
Yeah, this is so fun.
This is so fun.
If you want us for part two, let us know.
For real, let us know. But I think I agree with that too. Like, I think the what if, it's such a torturing thought in a way. So if you're thinking about it, like Allison said, you can always say no, and it's okay to say no.
Yes.
Because when I was doing it, I was like, I felt bad about saying no because I was like, I feel committed already. But like, realistically, you're not. You can say no. You can have doors open and choose the one that you think it's best for you. But keep your options open, and that it's so important. Mm-hmm. And be okay with saying no. And if it's for you and if it's meant to be, then I believe that if it's a right path for you, God will take you there because he wouldn't give you anything that's not meant to be for you. Mm-hmm. But as long as you keep your options open, you will be okay. It's so stressful when you're about to end your undergrad and you don't know what to do. You don't know if you should get a job, go to grad school, add a minor, like stay here one time, like whatever you do, just like get married, be a mom, and like just not do anything, or be a dad, or whatever it is. But I think that as long as you keep your options open and you are okay, put yourself first and ultimately trust your gut and do what you think is best for you, that there's not going to be a what if.
And it's very cliche, but you only have one life. Mm-hmm. You only live once. And so, you know, like, I'm 23. Like, I'm old, I know. But I'm only going to be 23 once. So why not do everything that I set my mind to, or I want to do, or dreams of? Why not do it?
And I think really important, don't have imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, such a big thing. When you have opportunities that come to you, or when you trust your gut and you choose something, which we already said, we also struggle with it. With, like, what happened if I would have been a teacher? What happened if I would have done marketing? Once you choose something, don't have imposter syndrome. At some point, you have to understand that the decisions that you make for you, ultimately, it's what you think is the best thing for you. So don't stop living your present opportunities and your present moment just thinking about, what if I would have done B instead of A, basically. Because I think that can be really tricky. And if you don't control those thoughts, it can be really easy for them to control you.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely don't let that happen. Just trust your gut and you know ultimately what's best for you. And I mean, sometimes you have to climb that work ladder. Sometimes you may have to say yes to opportunities that may not be your ideal opportunity. But like me and Allison said, like, maybe we would have wanted to go to another school just to be challenged more. But just because of that, we're not going to take away from the fact that we are
here
today in this opportunity. And I think that's one of, like, the most important things when it comes to, like, choosing what you're going to do.
or choosing what club to join. I'm going back to that.
Yeah, definitely we challenge you. Definitely challenge you. Get a mentor, join a club. Literally sit with someone random.
Don't just stay in your room.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, go to Tech Fit and make a weightlift friend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Or, like I said, sit with someone at Bass or at the CAF. Just meet someone.
Yeah.
It will make your experience in college 10 times better.
I also think just, like, making decisions for yourself and not for, like, other people. Like, oh, I'm going to join this because my friends told me to join it.
Yeah.
But more like, I'm going to join this because I want to do. Yes. Like, I want to join this. Like, I want to meet more people. I think that's also something very important.
Mm-hmm.
Period, Oscar.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You want to go to grad school with us?
Hey, you going to grad school?
Thank you all for joining us here.
Yay!
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
of course. And a huge thank you to you two for coming on here and being such amazing guests. I loved every single moment of this.
Thanks, Oscar.
Thank you, Oscar.
Yeah, make
we had so much fun.
Yeah, make sure to say hi to them if you see them around campus.
Yeah.
Like,
please
and
do.
11 out of 10 times, they're going to talk to
them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we will. That's, well, maybe think it twice if you want to come and talk to us. But I will say, I see you growing a lot in your leadership, Oscar, so...
Yeah,
we're
proud of you.
Yeah, we're both very proud of you, even you just doing this podcast on its own.
Yeah.
You have a lot of potential to become an incredible leader, so...
Yes, my boss is outside the window. I don't know what she's doing.
Yeah,
right now,
I think she's trying to listen in.
I guess.
So, please make sure to check us out on Instagram. You can see all of our updates at ATU Campus Life, and also check out ATU _ HESA. So make sure to check that out. That's ATU _HESA. And then make sure to check out our office. It's located inside the Student Vomit Center in Doc Bryan 171. Don't be scared to come by.